This is Napkin Scribbles, a podcast by Arthur and Professor Leonard Sweet. Today's Napkin Scribble is sponsored by Portland Seminary of George Fox University. For more information, join them on the web at portlandseminary.org. Now here's Leonard Sweet.
I like a little Latinity in my language. Now, that's a fancy way of saying I like Latin. There's something about Latin. I'm sorry. I just like Latin. I took 4 years of it in high school. I don't remember much of it except Mr. Garno, who was so enthusiastic about Latin, thought it was the best language ever created, ever spoken. But I still have not gotten over that little bit of Latin phrasings and archness, even, if you will, that adds so much to language. The beginning of the 14th century, just before the Reformation, all educated people had for centuries read, written, and even spoken in various kinds of Latin. Augustine even argued, and he made a big point about this, that the speakers of Latin within the church had to adapt their Latin to the social level of the audience. In other words, if you got people that are more common, you make it a more common form of Latin. If you got people that are more educated, you make it a more educated form, but you do retain that Latin. And this was the language of the church for many years. If you were a Christian in the 14th century, you did not hear the Bible in your language or a language that you spoke. You didn't even hear it in the language in which it was written. You heard it in Latin. Augustine wrote books in Latin. The language of the church was Latin. But let's just for a minute pause and scratch a little something out here on our napkins about what this means. Latin is a pre-Christian language. Latin is an anti-Christian language. Latin is a pagan language. So the church preserves its sacred texts and traditions and rituals in a pagan, pre-Christian, anti-Christian format. Now, when the empire fell in the 4th and 5th centuries and its libraries and books scattered, all Christians had to do was to do nothing. And they could have shed themselves of this pagan, pre-Christian, anti-Christian language. The absolute amazement is that our forebears, instead of just letting it go and getting rid of the shell of Latinity, what they did is they did everything they could to preserve it. They took pains to save what they could from all of the collapsing and the debris. They saved the pagan literature. They saved the pagan text. They saved the pagan books. The Christian church is the one that saved what they could after the empire fell. If you look at the earliest texts of classical Latin authors existing today, 3/4 of them were saved by the church. It was the monasteries that saved all of the pagan literature and the pagan text. And I want us just to, again, let's get the significance of this. Here, the church preserved writings that were anti-Christian, pagan, corrosive of Christian faith, and at the same time, use that very language and some of those very writings to frame the greatest story ever told. What a paradox. And the paradox was preserved in that the more you studied Latin and got good at it, the more you needed to read people like Cicero. But the more you were exposed to pre-Christian, anti-Christian thought. So here, the church preserved the seeds for its own subversion in the very language that it touted as the most sacred. We have nothing to fear, church. I love this in our ancestors. They did not fear the world, for God so loved the world. They did not fear even to preserve the purest and most sacred texts and traditions in some of the most pagan anti-Christian, pre-Christian languages and narratives. The paradox of Latinity, the paradox of the King James, the translation that you might argue and has been argued is the greatest, most influential book in the world and the most influential version of the most influential book in the world in what is now its most influential language. But we get a lot of that Latinity from the King James, and the paradox is preserved right there. You know, what some people, the authorized version, see as the only version. Glenn Sweet, and some scratchings and scribblings about the paradoxes of the Christian faith.
Thank you for listening to Napkin Scribbles. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with a friend today. Today's Napkin Scribbles was sponsored by Portland Seminary of George Fox University. For more information, join them on the web at portlandseminary.org. For Professor and author Leonard Sweet, until next time, happy scratching and scribbling.